brought to you by Carol Beck and broadcasting live from the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, The Deck at 311 North Market Street, Suite 200 in Dallas, Texas. It's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Good morning and welcome to part two of our show on skills that radically improve your life. Kamal and I are doing part two of this show, and today's show is brought to you by The Deck. And at The Deck is an awesome place here in Dallas. The Dallas Entrepreneur Center is what The Deck stands for. And we are just so excited to be broadcasting to you from The Deck here in Dallas. Kamal, good morning.
Good morning. So part two on skills that radically improve your life. We're starting off with one skill that is so universally important, and that is time is money. Time is money in a way that people sometimes forget. And I think the biggest thing to glean from this idea is you need to do what you need to do. Don't waste time doing any other activity that is going to just end up being a waste of time, because at the end of the day, everyone is always thinking about what can I do to make more money? What can I do to be successful? And the way to do that is understanding that time is money. Yes, you definitely need to take time out to go socialize and have social activities and go, you know, go on vacation and things like that. Those are very important things. But when you're in the workplace, that is the most imperative time to understand that every minute you're there is counting dollars.
Yes. I love this topic. Something I preach for the last 10 years to both students and my staff. And here goes. On average, if a full-time person works an average of 2,080 hours a year, and that's what their salary is based on. So if you're making $40,000 a year and you divide that by 2,080, you get an hourly wage for your time. And then you add in benefits. And benefits can be anywhere from 15% to 25%. In addition to the salary you're already making. So let's just say for the heck of it, we'd add 20% to $40,000. I think that's what 2,080 hours divided by something like that, 40,000. So 20% of 40,000 is another $8,000. So $48,000 divided by 2,080, and we get an hourly wage. Well, every time that you're doing something that you're not producing revenue at that hourly wage or above, even in your socialization process, you are diminishing or depreciating your efforts, your time, your value as an individual. Everything that you do, not to say that everything is about work, but look at who you're connecting with and what resources they bring to the table for you, who you're spending time with or socializing with, even a mate. I'm sorry. Yes. I say I'm sorry on that, but I'm not really, you know, I'm saying I'm sorry if I'm offending you. But other than that, I'm not sorry about what I'm saying. Now, listen carefully, people. Your time creates your value. Now, a vacation does create value. As I stated on a show last week, I had to check out in order to check back in. Okay. If I had not checked out of life to check back in, the ideas that I came up when I checked back in were so impressive and valuable that they're going to bring me additional revenue to the table. Checking out allowed me the ability to find ways to generate $10,000. $10,000 for 3 days of being away on vacation, plus two weekend days, that's 5 days. $10,000, I don't make $10,000 in 3 days. Not there yet, wish it was, but I'm not. But $10,000 is a lot. If I had not checked out, I wouldn't have been able to check into that $10,000. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, we as individuals have to understand the value of our time, as Kamal stated, and so on point, this young lady that wrote this article, Ellen Kaplan, her article here in Inc. was so appropriate on time. Time is so valuable, and It is our money. That's the only thing we have. We have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. And if we're not using that to produce, we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
And I think time is money. That is a concept that a lot of college students need to understand, because for the most part, we are not going to college for free. We have loans to pay. We have bills to pay. We have apartment rent to pay. And that means that we can't afford to waste our time, you know, watching TV shows all day or going out and partying till 5 or 6 in the morning. We don't have that ability because there is already so much that is kind of on the negative side of money revenue for us. And so, yes, I do understand as a college student, we need to, you know, we do need the opportunity to go explore and enjoy life. And yes, we do need the times where, hey, let's make this a really good night out. But again, you know, if that can't be a constant thing, if it is a constant thing, then you are wasting so much money. Time is money. And depending on how you use it, it can either be revenue or it can be a cost.
Right. I love the movie Facebook, because Mark Zuckerberg, if you notice, he was constantly spending his time developing. Mark may not have been paying attention to school very much, and it might have been ill will the reason why Facebook was developed. But at the same time, we saw that this young man, he surrounded himself with intelligent people who was always building his value. Same thing with Steve Jobs. We can go through the ranks. Everyone I've known that has been successful were constantly surrounding themselves with individuals that brought value, and they were doing things in their socialization process that helped to bring even greater value. So that's a lesson. We can go out and party sometimes in college and sometimes in life as adults, but in that partying, it needs to be purposeful, but planned as well. So you just can't just say for the heck of it, every Friday I'm going to party. Every Thursday night I'm going to go do a party at X or Saturday. You can't do that without bringing value to yourself. You have to bring in things that's going to bring value. In addition to that, you can party so much, even in college, that you diminish your value as well. And many people don't see it, but diminishment of value does occur. We do things that are not very appropriate. As ladies, sometimes we'll get so sloppily inebriated that we and ourselves do things that has already diminished our value to us, and which we are the most important people in our lives if we're diminishing that value for ourselves. In addition to that, we have to look at the value that we diminish by lessening our ability to connect with the right people or right individual. Some people, when they go to college, I assume that they met their life partner forever. And if we're so busy diminishing our value, we're not spending that time connecting to the right person that possibly we missed out on because we were so busy doing things to impress others by the partying and doing other things to keep ourselves out of our misery instead of building on life and enjoying the fruits of our labor. The next one is setting long and short-term goals. This is extremely important. I do a lot of coaching lately. I was telling Kamal that I had stopped coaching for a while because I just thought that it was a bit much, and I didn't think that people could really afford the prices. But I think we're in a day and time now where many people need a coach, a life coach or a career coach, to kind of direct them to things that they're needing. Yesterday, I got a call from a doctor, and this is a person, these are the type of people that call me for coaching. It's not for them. A lot of times it's for the children, and their children are in college, and some of them have been there for 6 or 7 years, and they can't seem to get out of college. And so it's, can you help them? And a lot of times on the help is just first finding people to identify and find themselves and see what values they have and what they bring to the table. And a lot of times people go out looking for jobs that are not within their market or their niche. And if you're not finding something that is your niche, finding a job, because you may be looking outside of your niche for that. So we have to set ourselves and establish long and short term goals as to what we're going to do and why we're going to have those goals. So a long term goal would be anything we consider to be 5 years or more. That's a long term goal. And a short term goal is something within, say, a week or month time frame that we can succinctly say, within the next 30 days, I'm going to do X. I think on this show, I've been doing natural healing or homeopathic thing where I talked about dieting with Dr. Zhang in one of our earlier shows. And so I'm on my last day of 30-day vitamins that I've been taking to kind of bring myself back around and to refocus and energy. And I can succinctly say that my mind is really focusing a lot better than it was before. I think we go through certain things in life and our deficiencies and vitamins and stuff impact us. So anyway, the whole thing there was I set this 30-day goal to say, I'm going to see how this is going to work before I come back to Dr. Zhang and say, okay, I'm ready for the next step. And I understand what Dr. Zhang was doing was setting a short-term goal with me because he knows that I need a long-term goal in order to be impactful, to help me. I went to him because I wanted to lose the weight. And I noticed that a lot of the things I was doing and I couldn't do surgery was going to help me. But losing weight is a long-term goal. It's not a short-term goal. It's not something I can do in the next 30 days, not the kind of weight I'm trying to lose. I can lose a few pounds, but not a whole lot. That's another great example of that. Another thing that I think people get crazy with, I know we talked about a lot about school in these two-part series, but a lot of times students will go to school and they'll think that I'm supposed to make an A, but I'm not supposed to put in any work for that A. And then once I get through with school, I'm supposed to get a job and I'm supposed to get that job right away. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's a process for that. Okay. And you don't get a job just right away. There's a strategy you have to go to, and there's a lot of short-term goals. And then there's some long-term goals that you're trying to achieve, but the short-term goals make the path for the long-term goal of getting that job. And so we don't go to school just to get a job. We go to school to get the knowledge and skills we need for life to be the best productive people in life we need to be. But along the way, if it happens to be a dedicated field that we're in, it gives us that knowledge, that skill set, but that information we need to say, you can come play at the table. Come on.
I think having long and short-term goals is, even in a company setting, it's very important, because when you have smaller achievements followed by celebrated milestones, it creates this just overall feeling of success and determination to really make it to those milestones. And whether it's in the office or whether it's for your own personal mm-hmm. goals, you know, even that smallest feeling of success makes a world of difference. It really does. It makes you more willing and wanting, and it makes you want to persevere to meet all those goals. And having just having the long-term goals is something that's very hard to grasp onto. It's something that's very hard to work towards because it is long-term. Mm-hmm. If I'm thinking about my career 5 years in the future, I have, you know, for me, my long-term career goal is, okay, get a job, move to London.
Mm-hmm.
That is my long-term goal. But, you know, without any short-term goals to kind of carve out a path to that long-term goal, I'm lost. I have no idea where to go. And so the short-term goals, the smaller achievements they're like the directions to right. getting to that ultimate milestone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why having a good number of short-term goals and long-term goals ultimately gets you the full picture that you want. Because, like, you know, people say it's all in the details, right? So those details are going to be your smaller achievements, your smaller goals, but you get an entire picture because of those details. And that entire picture is going to be that long-term goal.
Right. I totally agree with you. And I think that I'm looking at this picture in front of us. and it's a target. Looks like a target, shooting target. And I think that it is so on point. It has purpose in the middle with socializing, and it's a picture, and business. And I guess the target says business is socializing with a purpose. And that's the biggest part of the picture. But the purpose is in the middle. But as you see, business is big. And so that's the goal. Purpose is the target. So, and the goal is big, but the target is small. And in order to get that target on point, you have to build and build and build around it. I like that picture. I never noticed it. I had to put on my glasses, guys, because I can't see far away. But but I love that picture. I think it's a cool little picture. I don't know who drew it. I think it's a name up there, but I can't see it right now. But I think that's also important. And then that brings us to our next point, meditating and winding down. I'm going to let you start this one.
So winding down is something that I desperately need during exam season, just because with 5 different exams going on, each exam I've got to study at least 6 hours if I want to even think about doing well on that exam. And so when my mind is so cluttered, being able to wind down is what brings everything back into place. It's what regrounds me. It's what allows me to go to bed without having the weight of stress on my shoulders. And it's very interesting. My mother actually meditates. And mm-hmm. for her, that has made such a difference in her life. For her, that really works. I have yet to get to the point where I have enough patience to meditate. I'm still working on that. But the ability to wind down for me comes from being able to sit in bed and just read for a little bit. You know, I don't consider watching TV winding down, for me at least, because the kind of TV shows I like to watch are very, like, high impact, lots of detective shows, action shows. Like, there's a lot going on.
Right.
And, you know, for me, getting emotionally invested in these shows, it just kind of makes me more stressed sometimes. And so for me, winding down comes from reading. It comes from writing. It comes from listening to very orchestral and classical music. It comes from the things that will totally and completely just calm my brain down. And that's the main point of winding down, whether it's at the end of a long work day, whether it's at the end of a long, you know, season of just mm-hmm. lots of go, go, go and no downtime. The ability to wind down brings you back to your own personal consciousness. It brings you back to your own state, normal state of being, okay. which I appreciate.
Well, meditating, I think, is important. And you do have to have time. I go back to last week when I said I had to check out in order to check in. And meditating is the same thing. You have to check out, and you have to check out from all things a lot of times in order and get in tune with you, in balance with you, in order for you to be able to check back into other things. Music is great. I remember my daughter saying to me, "Mom, it's just too much to do." In college, sometimes I got test after test after test. And many times you have to do your checking out of where you are in your world, because all the noise, there's a lot of noise being made. Music, and even though it works for you, music, a book lets you check into somebody else's world, but you haven't checked out. TV helps you to check into somebody else's world, but you still haven't checked out. You have to check out, and that's where meditating becomes so important, because you're so focused. I would even say listening to gospel music for some people or church, that's not checking out. You're not meditating. You have to come within one. You're one. You're yourself in order to get a feel of how this is who I am. And that's why we don't know a lot of things about ourselves. that we need to know about ourselves because we don't take time to just check out. So I spend 5 to 15 minutes every morning, totally nothing. No TV, no talking, no anything. As a matter of fact, I hate that I have to share my apartment with family members sometimes. So I created this closet. I liken it to the movie, The Prayer Closet. And I, the war room is what she called it. It was a prayer closet, but they call it a war room. And I go in and I have my goals, back to goals that we talked about before. I literally have my goals in this closet on a wall with my prayers and everything as associated with what I want to do. I literally have on this wall checks written to myself of my financial goals that I want to accomplish, written out to everybody that I owe, including student loans, that this is what I want to accomplish. This is what I'm going to do. And I pray about it and think about, you know, focus on that and pray. But I don't pray necessarily to say, oh, I want this to disappear, that to disappear. I pray to bring myself together and that my steps are ordered and my life is ordered and that it becomes what it needs to be. But I silently do that and only with the higher being, my higher being. So I understand your mother meditating on that, and it does make for a more successful person.
I actually wanted to bring up a point that you kind of briefly mentioned that I thought was beautiful, is that when you take the time to check out, you learn a lot more about yourself. And once you mentioned that, it dawned on me that most of the time that I've really come to learn about who I am have been on the days when I have kind of, when I leave my apartment and I just go on a quiet walk. I don't talk to anyone. I don't walk with music in my ears or anything like that. I just go on a walk. And for me, so I'd like to consider myself someone who's more of an outgoing introvert, which means me time is extremely important. That's how I re-energize myself. But, you know, being able to wind down by taking those walks has actually expanded my knowledge, my personal knowledge, my spiritual knowledge, my understanding of things. And it just, it's this overwhelming sense of calm that comes with it that allows you to sit down and then tackle whatever you have left to do for the rest of the day. And I thought that was just a very beautiful point that you brought up.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, your mother's right on target with that. And then the winding down, just being able to wind down before I go home each night, because I teach at night. Before I go home, I go somewhere to wind down, to disconnect with what I just left. And I often told my staff when I was working in banking and finance, the moment I pulled into the parking lot, I began to think about the bank and my clients in wealth and investment management. The moment I left that parking lot, it became my time and my family time. The moment I walked into my house is my family time. That's what I think about. That's what I'm doing. So my drive home might have been my winding down time. Not as effective, because sometimes you have to step somewhere and you will see people maybe go to happy hour or go to, you know, just take a little break to sit and have an appetizer or something like that before they go home, or go to a social place, or come to somewhere like the deck. Our sponsor show for today. Find somewhere to come to a place like this where they can connect with other people as a wind down from their everyday mundane task of what they're doing. And you become a better person when you do that. So many people get so stuck into their worlds and so focused on what they think is reality. It's not reality. In order for you to know reality, you would have to subject yourself to a bigger environment than you're in at that moment. I live in the downtown area here in Dallas, but a lot of times I'm going to the suburbs to see what's really going on in the suburb. And I check myself into different things that's happening and events happening in the suburbs, or place myself in restaurants in the suburbs to understand what they're doing and what's happening with them or the people, and talk to the people. You don't know anything if you close your mouth and you keep yourself in your own little jail. And I think a lot of times people keep themselves in their own little jail. And so they're constantly in a what we call a state of vegetation. And they're not meditating and they're not winding down, but they're wasting away. And I think that's a lot of times we see some of the challenges also that we see today, but that's another day, another topic. Mm-hmm. And our last topic today is eliminating the ants, the negative thoughts. Wow. Woo. Yes. That goes to the point that I was just coming off of. You're in your own little world. You're thinking, you have negative thoughts. This is what's going to be. You're in the water cooler environment is what I say. And a lot of people stay in the water cooler too much. They're listening to hearsay, negative thoughts, negative words, negative comments. You don't know what's going on. People in corporate are never going to tell you what's going on. You're not going to know what's going on unless you're part of that crowd that knows. A lady said to me yesterday, one of my clients, she says, the reason I want the goal that I've established is because I want to know how to get into that room where the people are making decisions about everything that's going on in my company. I never get invited to that room. So she said, I need to know what steps I need to take in order to get in the room. And I thought, she hired me to tell her how to get in the room. Well, you don't need to get in the room if you need to hire somebody to tell you how to get in the room. So that's my point I'm going to make with her over the years. And she's going to, oh, not over the years, over the next few weeks. And she's going to see that I never really wanted to get in the room. What I wanted to do is get around the room.
Mm. Yeah. Negative thoughts are things that come very easily to the brain. No matter how much you try to fight it, it's very easy for those negative thoughts to slip in, whether it's, you know, whether it's something as small as, oh, she paired a red shirt with those colored pants. Okay, I mean, it's her prerogative. Even something as small as that is still a negative thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have tried to do personally is, as soon as I think a negative thought, try to change my perspective on it. Try to change the wording of that thought so it becomes positive. So if I see that girl wearing, you know, a red top and let's say orange pants, say, you know what? She was bold. She tried something different.
There you go.
Good for
positive.
Her.
So you're replacing negative thought with positive.
Exactly.
Thought.
And once you start doing that, you start to see how that has a domino effect on the way that you think for the rest of the day or for the rest of the time, because changing one negative thought into a positive one is not something that people do often, even though it is easy enough to do. But once you change it into a positive and you force yourself to change it, like to think positively, your entire brain switches onto a more positive note.
Mm-hmm.
And that does make a difference in the way the rest of your time plays out.
Yeah.
If I'm constantly bombarding myself with negativity, not making any attempt to say, hey, you know what, but here's the silver lining, then I just stew in that negativity. And then that negativity becomes a part of who I am, even though initially that may not have been the way I was.
Yeah, I think we can replace the ants. In this case, the ants was eliminating negative thoughts with PTAs. Or PTSs, positive thoughts and situations. So, or something like that. We need another word instead of ants. When we see the word ants coming up, we need to say, let's come up with something better because I don't want these ants in my brain. I need the PTSs in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So let me put these positive thoughts. And there's, everything is not like it seems anyway. We make a mountain of a molehill. I think you can replace that. We were coming over. We were on a vacation and we called for Uber because I refuse to drive. I'm on vacation. You told me to check out, so I checked out. And so I called an Uber driver and she got there to pick us up. And this was my mom's first time in an Uber. She's like, what is an Uber? And I was like, this is an old spin on the what they call a jitly cab. And so she said, well, I don't know this person, Marilyn, so why are we going to do this? And I said, well, trust me, it's all good. Wow. So this person was riding on in the road, and my sister was in the back seat with my mom, and I decided to sit up front with the Uber driver. And the Uber driver was all over the place and just so into, I kept talking with her because I'm trying to see what is going on here. Why is she all over the road? Why does she not know what she's going? And so I'm trying to pull information out. I never was negative with her. My mom began to say, Marilyn, you need to be quiet. Stop talking to her because this is scaring me. She don't know what she's doing. That's an older person for you. They're going to say things like that sometimes. And I was like, oh, no, I think she's okay. We're just gabbing and trying to see. But I wanted to keep her calm because if I had gone into negative thoughts with her, even though I had my comments that I made to Uber later after the ride was over, I knew that in some point, since I called the Uber driver, the ride, that I would be responsible for my mother and sister being with me, and that my job was to take care of them because they had not been in an Uber before. And so through that process, we were able to keep calm until the end, and I never let that lady know, let on to the Uber driver that I was totally disappointed in her transportation. So keeping those positive thoughts and talking with my mom later, and because we were going to take some more Uber rides because Marilyn was not driving. And so I told her, I said, okay, we got something different. That was just one ride. And so the other three Uber rides that we took while we were on our trip, or six, I'm sorry, ended up being very positive. And so if I had let her stay in that moment of negativity, negative thoughts, we would not have had the Uber driver, and we would have been stuck catching this shuttle and then walking long ways in the heat. And she's not able to do that in a very heated place where we were. It just wouldn't have been a good scenario.
And I'm also, to that point, I'm also a firm believer in the idea that people can tell a lot about you based on the energy you kind of give off.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you constantly have negative thoughts in your head, all people are going to associate with you is negativity, which, you know, obviously for anyone, that's not a good thing. It's not. You know, and with everything that's negative going on in the world right now, being constantly caught up in negative thoughts contributes to that. It really does. So if you're able to say, you know what, I know maybe this was initially a negative thought, but let's make it something good. Let's make it something positive. That not only changes the energy that you give off, making people find you more positive and genuinely good person to be around, but it creates kind of like a chain reaction, you know? Once you start going or thinking more positively, then it kind of affects the people around you, and then they affect the people around them. And I'm not saying that this is going to solve
all. So negative, positive brings positivity?
Exactly.
Continues on, and negative brings negativity? Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree, and I wish we had more time to talk about this particular topic, and we probably will on another day, because I think it's one that we need to focus on, because I see that a lot of that is going on in our world today, and we definitely need to spend some time as individuals and as people more so focus on the positive instead of being so focused on everything that's negative and taking some positives out of it, or building from the negative and building into something more positive. So that's been our show for today. We went a little over, but I've so enjoyed this topic on the 8 skills that radically improve your life. And this is, again, coming to us from an article in Inc. by Ellie Kaplan. I said her name wrong. I said Ellen. There's no A in there anyway. It's Ellie Kaplan. And so thank you so much for joining Kamal and I. It's a great topic. Obviously, we spent a lot of time on it. Our show, earlier show, part one, and now part two show, well, we spent over an hour talking about these are very important topics that a lot of people in our audience will want to hear, and we'll be sending this out as well as posting it on our site. And you can, we're here at the deck, and this is where our office is, as well as where we bring our show from, the deck in Dallas, Texas. Thank you for joining us today, and we look so forward to talking with you next week.